Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick. In today's episode, we are going to take a journey beyond physical life to a dimension of universal energy. Our teacher and guide for this journey is my special guest, Anita Morjani, author of Dying to Be Me, One Woman's Journey from Cancer to a Near-Death Experience to True Healing. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm so happy to be here with you.
And it's a wonderful. You're in Hong Kong and I'm in New York. And it's like we could just reach our hand out and touch each other, which we're going to do with the words today.
Yes. Yeah, the connection is so clear. It's amazing.
Great. Okay. Well, congratulations on being selected as guest speaker for the prestigious Hay House Conference entitled I Can Do It Ignite. It's going to be first on October 26th to the 28th in Pasadena, California, and then it's coming to the Javits Center in New York City on November 3rd and 4th. Everyone out there who is looking for the inspiration and guidance to face today's personal, political, and financial challenges should look no further than the newest Hay House information-packed, fast-moving conference with leaders and cutting-edge authors and performers in the spirituality, health, holistic, and sustainability lifestyle movement, began by such renowned leaders as Louise Hay, Cheryl Richardson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and Doreen Virtue, to name only a few. And I know attendees of this conference will leave with new tools for their own self-improvement, for greater health and happiness. I expect they also will have a better awareness of who they are and the purposes of our life experience. Anita, before we begin to discuss your new book, Dying to Be Me, can you tell our listeners a little bit about Hay House?
Sure. Hay House, they're an amazing company. They discovered my story. Actually, Dr. Wayne Dyer discovered my story. And they are, I think, the most amazing publishers to be associated with because they really walk their talk. And I've just been so happy and so proud to be part of the Hay House family. I could not be associated with a better publisher, and the way things turned out with them, I could not have scripted it better. It was just a whole string of divinely led synchronicities that caused me to be published by them, and it was just incredible.
Well, my first book is Life is No Coincidence, and of course we are being guided and helped through many events in our lives so we can grow and expand and evolve and be with people that we were, well, even before we were born, made plans to have this life journey and to meet many people in our soul group. But let me tell you a little bit more about Hay House. Hay House is located in Carlsbad, California, and it also has international divisions in Australia, the United Kingdom, India, and South Africa, and they publish self-help, transformational, and inspirational books. Hay House also produces radio shows and lectures relating to health, relationships, sexuality, finance, and personal transformation to mindfulness or higher consciousness, and that's what this radio show, Healing From Within, is all about, learning to know about our inner soul essence and higher consciousness. Hay House was also founded by Louise L. Hay, who is the author of an excellent resource book, You Can Heal Your Life, and is used by many alternative healers, including myself, I am a Reiki practitioner, to validate the healing process of our clients. Ms. Hay has and remains a major force for bringing subjects about energy medicine, multidimensional healing, and preventative and universal approaches for enhancing all our life experiences. The goals, when fully realized, always lead us to a higher view of self and foster ways to become healthier people. And this is the way the world population will be enlightened and improved. Anita, let's start and go to your very special and miraculous story. Dr. Wayne Dyer, in the foreword of your book, Dying to Be Me, tells us that your story is a love story and a defining view of the true nature of our being. Can you tell us about the circumstances and illness that led you to writing your story and the love story that sustained you?
All right. Well, my story came about because I was dying from end-stage lymphoma, and I entered into a coma. You know, at that point, I had tumors all over my body, and my lymphoma had spread all over my body, and I had open skin lesions, fluid in my lungs, and I was breathing with the aid of an oxygen tank, and I entered into a coma when my organs shut down. And it was while I was in the coma that I experienced something quite incredible, where I felt that, where I realized I was actually connected with everybody in this planet, everyone and everything, all of us. It was as though we are all part of one consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that, you know, even when we, what I felt was what I can only describe as unconditional love, but even the word unconditional doesn't do it justice. It's something much beyond that. I felt like that I was loved just because I existed and no other reason. But I felt the same love for everyone and everything simply because they were all like a part of me, like we were all just connected. We were all one. But when we're expressing in this physical body, we don't realize it. We think in terms of you and me, us and them, victims
mm-hmm.
and perpetrators. But in actuality, we're all victims and we're all perpetrators of our own reality. We are all co-creators of this reality. We're
yes.
all in it together.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, actually, you had a near-death experience, an NDE, as they the shortened term. Now, I have interviewed Dr. Raymond Moody, who's the author of Life After Life, and he has spent 40 years documenting near-death experiences. And his main reason for this was to prove that our energy life force survives physical death. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, also a doctor, who studied the death and dying process for the same reason. And personally, my own investigation after 8 years of working as a hospice volunteer and doing hundreds of personal readings as an energy intuitive and medium led me to write my book, because what I learned in connecting into that zone where you were of eternal life and universal energy is the greatest gift that anybody could know. That I was privileged and you were privileged to be shown by spirit is we don't die. There is no death. There is only movement of our energy soul for expansion and growth to the oneness and unity of our being. And Anita, I'm sorry you had to suffer for 4 years. I read your book very carefully. And I know a lot about your family now and a few other people who you met, who you'll soon be telling us about when you were in spirit. But that brought you to know what I have learned, that we are all one, and we are very much more than we appear to be in this physical life, and that we've forgotten for a while, but have the opportunity through many experiences to go back to our heart and our soul. So I'm going to ask you now something else about your early life, because I think some of your experiences then may have played a part into your getting sick later on. Now, can you tell us a little about how culturally, as a young Indian girl growing up in Hong Kong and going to a British school and learning to speak, I think you speak at least four languages or five?
Yeah, four languages.
Mm-hmm. How this created a conflict, because the social mores and the expectations of your family and all your varied friends was so very different. Do you believe this confusion fed into your body, causing it to create the disease?
Yes, I feel it did in the way that it played out in my own life. So not to say that any other child brought up in a multicultural society would have the same thing happen to them. But in my case, I felt I didn't fit in or I didn't belong anywhere because I wasn't quite Indian enough to fully embrace the Indian culture. I wasn't Chinese enough to embrace the local Chinese culture, nor was I quite British enough to fully embrace and be immersed in the British culture of my peers at school.
But I will tell you what I think you were. I think you were a very sensitive, intuitive, gifted child who from the beginning was perhaps because of all those experiences being primed to have your near-death experience later on. I kind of sense that maybe that's why it was a little hard for you, and you were different, as we all are different, right?
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that because I always felt different, and it's really interesting because now as I look back on the trajectory of my life, I feel that everything was perfect.
Yes,
it was so perfect. I was in the perfect position for everything that happened to have happened, and I wouldn't change any of it for anything, not even the suffering from cancer for 4 years. I wouldn't change that for anything either.
I agree.
That was such a gift.
Well, because we need some of these, I'm not going to say anything's negative, good or bad. They're just experiences. We need to lift ourselves up to a higher and better improved, refined version of our soul. But you mention in the book that prior to your diagnosis, one of your greatest fears was getting cancer, because I believe several people. Well, let me tell you a little story about this fear. One day while I was sitting at a luncheonette counter, a young woman sat down next to me, and I always get to talk to people wherever I go because there seem to be healings going on for me and for them in all different locations and places. And so when I told her I was a Reiki practitioner, she very quickly told me her mother and aunt died from cancer, and she was terrified to get it. So I told her that her own soul destiny and life purpose didn't have to be anything like anyone in her family, and she was not her body, but more her thoughts and her actions. And if she continued to worry and think about getting cancer, she was going to bring about this reality. And I gently, because you can't tell people what to do, you can only help them know that they need to rid themselves of these fears. So I suggested that every night she go to sleep and ask to awaken each day with the thought that she was healthy, loving, and would have a great, good life experience, and never again to focus on having cancer or any other disease, not to say it, not to think it, not to worry about it. So I'm going to ask you, Anita, what was shared, what ideas or new insights were shared with you during your sojourn, I mean your little visit in that dimension of oneness and where we all began and where maybe we're still there and functioning and creating this world, our material world from there, and our energy can be in many places at one time. But what did you experience during that dying process, that near-death experience?
Wow, I experienced some really amazing truths. I realized that we are amazing, magnificent beings. And very often we forget that as we are living our lives. I realize that we are capable of so much more than we believe or think we are, than we believe or think that we are capable of. And also, I understood that fear was what caused my cancer. So if I were to sum it up in one word, I say fear. But fear is actually a huge word, because it was a fear of many, many different things. It was a fear of being myself, a fear of not being good enough, fear of not fitting in. I was always a people pleaser. But it was also fears of things in this planet. Like, I feared cancer, very much feared cancer. I bought into all the fear campaigns that go around about fearing things that cause cancer, you know, all the cancer awareness programs. Just look for cancer in your body, and everything, and people today seem to believe that everything causes cancer.
Well, Western medicine is focused on, looking for symptoms and medications and and cures. Eastern medicine, as you say in your book, is a way to make ourselves healthier with our thought processes and preventative and alternative methods so that we can eliminate those needless thoughts. And fear is not only fear, it's a lower vibration of all negative energies. Greed, jealousy, hate, and all those energies do eventually bring out disease in our body, I believe. But let's go on to something else. Years ago, I met Danny and Brinkley, who was the author of a book called Saved by the Light, and he actually died twice and received many of the awarenesses that you did. But he said he wasn't living a very good life at the time he died, and he was given an opportunity to come back and to be of service and to improve the quality of his thinking and his soul essence. And he worked with a group called Compassionate Care, helping hospice patients. But he also had a very extreme intuitive or psychic healing gift that he didn't have before the event. So as a result of your experience, are you aware of any residual new spiritual gifts or abilities that you are using to help yourself and others?
I do use a lot of things to help myself right now, but what I tend to tell others instead of this is a little bit more difficult for me to talk about. I don't tell others that I have any special gifts, because I believe we all are capable of accessing those same gifts.
That's true.
So what I feel is that even though I became aware of my gifts from this experience, I want to share my experience so that other people can become aware of their gifts. I don't want other people to guruize me or to feel that my gift that I will use my gift or my clairvoyance or whatever to help them, because I'd rather help them to realize that they have access to it themselves.
That is true.
We all have the power.
Yes.
Yes. And I prefer that people hold on to their power rather than give it away. I don't even want them to give it to me. And that is my biggest message. Don't give away your power. You are amazing, magnificent. You have access to everything you need to live your life.
Well, just like children, when you say something to them, you look in their eyes, they're so pure. That's the unconditional love you're talking about. They still remember spirit. They still remember the beginning, and they still remember that they know everything. And it's only when we project fear and uncertainty onto them that they start to lose bits and pieces of themselves and that reality. But I'd like to tell another story, because you might have had some of this while you were in spirit too. While I was doing hospice one day, there was a young woman, maybe 40-ish or something. And yeah, about 40-ish. And she was so sad to have everybody so worried about her, and she felt so miserable that she couldn't take care of herself. So as I held her hand, I said, you know, today we take care of you, and tomorrow you will take care of someone else. And when she fell asleep, her mother, who was standing nearby, told me a remarkable near-death story. She said that the girl's grandmother had been in hospice only a short while before, and that the grandmother had told her that she had a near-death experience and saw a man at the foot of her bed, and this man was in a wheelchair and took her on a plane ride to a beautiful place overlooking a field of flowers with a cottage, and there was one large red flower in the distance. And the man told her when she was ready to leave that she could live there. Now, the mother never told anyone that her mother had told her this. And then just before the girl married, the girl who now had cancer, just before she married, she had a dream with her grandmother, who took her to a place. And in this house, she looked out the window and saw the garden with the one large red flower. And she told her mother the story. And then both of them realized that their beloved mother and grandmother was still with them and safe. So when you were in spirit, Yeah, isn't that a beautiful story?
That's beautiful. That's very beautiful.
And there was more to it, but you know, for the sake of the show, it's we don't have enough time to go into. But when you were in spirit, I know you met some souls. You didn't quite see them the way we see them, people here. Mm-hmm. How did you feel and sense that they were with you?
It was like I was completely enveloped by them, like they were, like I was almost, I could say, I was merged with them. My soul merged with their soul, and I had no body. I mean, I was without my body, mm-hmm. and they were without any body as well. So they were just pure essence, and I was pure essence, and it was like our essences merged, and even our communication was not done verbally. And because time is very different, there's no linear time in the mm-hmm. other realm. So even the communication was like instant. It's not like the way we're talking now, waiting for each other to finish our sentences to know what the other is saying. It's like in an instant, you know, everything with no chance of misinterpretation or misunderstanding. You know everything the other wants you to know.
So you felt your father and your very dear friend who had passed from cancer to
yes.
be near you, to be part
yes.
of you, to be,
part of me.
You. And they gave you a choice, didn't they?
Yes.
What did they say?
Gave me a choice. They said I had a choice of whether to come back into my physical body or to go onward into death. And my father said, it wasn't my time, but I still had the choice. And at first, I wanted to stay there because it was so amazing.
I know.
It was just so...
Everyone who relates
yeah.
a near-death experience and feels the peace and the warmth, quiet, and the stillness find it hard to come back. But I want to tell you something else that happened. I don't know. I don't believe I had a near-death experience. But 19 years ago, I was very sick with the flu, and I felt my grandfather standing near me. I guess I was sleeping, and it was a shadow, and I felt the connection of energy, as you say, and I was trying to hear him, but I couldn't hear him, but I knew in thought form, he said, you have to write something for your father. I had no idea
wow.
what was happening. So the next day I got a call from my mom that my dad had passed. And I wrote his yeah. eulogy. And it took me many more years to realize that either it was a spiritual visitation or it yeah. was a near-death experience, but nevertheless I was never the same. And I was seeking and searching to know how to communicate with that informational dimension where all life comes from and goes to, and still to this day, I don't know, but I believe it to be, that's why I'm so very grateful to be talking to you today, because I think we were in that place, and we go to that place regularly in our dreams, and in our sleep, and in our wishes, and our possibilities for creating a more beautiful life for ourselves and others. So I have a story I'd like you to tell, and before we run out of time, you had what seemed to me like divine intervention and a birthday miracle that brought you a story, the story of the birthday and Dr. Wayne Dyer, because I know people were saying to you, the skeptics, oh, how are you going to get your story to anyone? It's such a hard market, and to get an agent and publisher is so nearly impossible. So can you tell us that beautiful divine intervention and birthday miracle?
Sure, I will. I love that story myself because I had been writing on forums and blogs, and I built up a little bit of a following, and some people had said, oh, you should write a book, whereas others had said that, oh, no, there's a lot of spiritual books out there right now and a lot of books on NDEs, and it's a very tough market, and you have to get an agent, and it's very hard to get an agent, and so on, and you'll be banging on publishers' doors and stuff like that. So I didn't bother to do it because the whole idea seemed daunting to me. So I didn't even, I just put it aside. And I just kept writing for the sake of writing. I was helping people and I was really enjoying writing. I loved it. So I just wrote for that reason. One day, though, the skeptics got a little too much for me. And these were more the scientific type skeptics who wanted more proof. And I gave them proof in terms of my medical records, but they wanted proof that the NDE actually happened, and I can't prove that. And so I stopped writing for a while, and I just got on with my work until one day a friend of mine asked me to speak at her holistic center about my near-death experience. And this came months after I had stopped writing about it, stopped talking about it. I just carried on with my normal work, which has nothing to do with it. I took a break.
Good.
And so as I was standing there in the room full of people sharing my experience, and the response was overwhelming, because even though I'd been writing about it, very rarely had I ever stood in front of an audience and spoke to people about it. And I saw the transformation of people in the room just from me talking about it and sharing with them what I was feeling at the time and how I healed. And it was at that moment that I realized what happened to me wasn't just for me. It happened for everyone, because we're all connected. If we're all connected,
and Anita,
it didn't just happen to me.
There is the gift that you brought back in your voice and in your words and in your story. You were healing people just by being there, by your presence. But I wanted to say one other thing before we run out of time. Your birthday is March 16th, and you got news that Hay House would help you publish this book on your birthday. And my birthday is September 16th, and I was delighted when your publicist asked if you could have the September 17th recording date. And I felt like it was a birthday gift for me, because Jackie Lappin in California gave me two other guests to speak with, Mira Kelly and Michael Chase. And I had picked three names of people who would fit with the core of my show and the mission statement of this show, Healing From Within. And when that came in, I said, oh, this is my birthday present. I hadn't read your book yet. And when I read your book, I said, this is how spirit works. If we are just patient and wait, everything finds its connection in love and manifests the right way. So I would like to thank you, Anita Moorjani, for sharing your remarkable journey from physical life to the outer realms of spirit and back again. And for more information on Anita Moorjani and to purchase her book, go to anitamoorjani.com. Good luck on your speaking engagement for the I Can Do It Ignite conferences, for the one in New York on November 3rd to the 4th, which I hope to be attending with Reiki students and family members. And join us at the conference to hear selected worldwide leaders who offer their vision for the continuous creation of possibilities for health, peace, and world unity. In summarizing today's show, I hope Anita and I have offered our stories of life transcending what too many people still believe to be their final act, dying. And in essence, we are spiritual beings having a physical reality, and life is eternal as we transcend time and space to remember our soul magnificence and our connection to all life. I would like to share Anita's sentiments that she wrote on the front page of her book. It says, I believe that the greatest truths of the universe don't lie outside, in the study of the stars and the planets. They lie deep within us in the magnificence of our heart, mind, and soul. Until we understand what is within, we can't understand what is without. I share my story here in the hope of touching your heart in some way and reminding you of your own magnificence. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, which can be heard on webtalkradio.net and also heard on my website, CherylGlick.com. Please visit these sites to listen to masters and leaders share their extraordinary experiences and thoughts on holistic healing, spirituality, energy medicine, communication with source and higher vibrational beings, and a way to broaden your thinking to include higher consciousness and a greater love of life.